All right, thank you very much. And hello again, radio friends. How in the world are you? Yes, that familiar greeting establishes the fact that you and I are together once again for a few moments over the Word of God. This is your good friend, Dr. Cook, and I delight at the privilege of sharing some of God's Word with you. We were in the middle of the passage in Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 40, where our Lord Jesus was explaining quite clearly the difficulty faced by the literate and courteous member of the scribes who had just been speaking with him, a man to whom he had said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." He answered discreetly. He answered with knowledge of God's word when they were talking together. But Jesus said, "Not far." Not in, but not far. So he says, beware of the scribes. Why? Because although they are literate, and they know the scriptures, and they can explain the scriptures, they've got interior motivation that's different. They love to look religious. They love to be recognized as having religious influence. They love prominence. That is what they love. And then on the other side, knowledge of God's word does not keep a human being from being wrong in his procedures. It says they devour widows' houses. What does that mean? They foreclose a mortgage on a widow that doesn't have any to pay. Now, I understand that business is business, and I sympathize with the remark that was made by a friend of mine years ago who was in the mortgage business. And I said to him, "Doesn't it bother you that you foreclosed on this man? He's a Christian. Doesn't that bother you?" He said, "Well, Bob, I advised him not to buy the piece of property that he bought, which was too expensive for him. And then I watched him as after he bought that piece of property, he also went in debt for other things that he didn't need. He bought a boat and an extra car and this and that. And so finally he ran out of money. And he said, I cannot feel sorry for him because he did this deliberately." Well, I began to understand at that point that there comes a point at which, if you're in business, you say, "I'm sorry." But that's how it is. In other words, because I'm a Christian, I have no right to expect other people to give me an extra break so I can be careless. I've had to go through that in business and in management through the years. Somebody will say, "What kind of a Christian are you, leaning on me because I happen to stretch my coffee break?" You know, as though because I'm a Christian, you ought to let me have a half-hour coffee break. You know, well, there's no real causal connection between your Christianity and your right to stretch your coffee break to a half hour. You understand me? Business is business. All right. We agree on that. Still, there's a point at which a man who loves God with all his heart and who, in line with the second great commandment, loves his neighbor as himself. There is a point at which a person whose love for God is real and whose love for people is real is not going to devour, as Jesus said, widows' houses. The idea of seeing how much property you can, distress property you can gobble up, no matter how it hurts other people. Farmers in the Midwest have seen both sides of that coin recently. I've had people talk to me about it. In one area, there would be creditors who simply moved in and said, "Sorry, move out, this is it. I don't care how you feel. This is it, I'm foreclosing, and that's it." In another area, a creditor, banker, or mortgage company, whatever, would say, "Let's work this out. There has to be a way to work it out without making you sacrifice the land that's been in your family for three or four generations. We'll work something out," and they did. There is a way to face a human need aside from being completely irresponsible. That's all I'm saying. There has to be a way to face human need aside from being completely irresponsible and from just being completely inflexible. Do you know God always has his answer to situations? Have you found that out? I remember on one occasion I was going to fire a person. And I had told him that I wanted to see him. I'm not wanting to embarrass him in front of other people in the office. I said, let's get together after dinner in the office. So we arranged that that he and I both would have dinner at home, and then we'd come back to the office. And I was going to, he didn't know at this point, but I was going to fire him. All right, I was burdened about it, and I did a good deal of praying about it, because, you know, these things aren't pleasant. But I figured it had to be done, because things were just not going right, and the man was his own worst bottleneck. So I got to the office at the right time, and lo and behold, I found this man whom I was to meet in the middle of an earnest prayer meeting with a couple of other people who had great burdens and about which they were praying. Well, you know, you don't tap him on the shoulder and say, come on, buddy, let's have that conference. I want to fire you. You don't do that. So what I did was I got down on my knees and prayed with him. And at the same time, my heart was opening to God about their burdens. The precious indwelling Spirit of God flashed into my own mind a solution to the problem that I faced, short of dismissing this man. And so when the prayer meeting ended and we had talked a bit, then this gentleman and I went over into an adjoining office and we sat down. And I said, now, my brother, these are the options. The work isn't going well, and I could simply let you go, but instead, I think the Lord is asking me to do something else. I'm going to surround you with people whose abilities complement you. At the point where you are poorly organized, they'll be better organized. And I'm going to surround you with some people that will be helpful in doing the work. Well, he was overjoyed because he himself had been upset about the way things were going. And so there was God's solution. I felt so grateful to my Lord as I walked on home on that evening. Many, many years ago now. So there's no danger in telling what happened because the people and the time are long, long past. But the lesson I learned, beloved, has stuck with me through the years. What am I telling you? You don't have to be inexorable and ruthless. You do have to love God and love people with all your heart, and in the process, you look for God's options in a situation that would otherwise be hopeless. You want to remember that? You have to love God and love people with all your heart, and in the process, look for God's options in situations that would otherwise be hopeless. God has a way up when there doesn't seem to be any way out. Devour widows' houses. Then another thing about this scribe that our Lord Jesus was talking about, he said, for a pretense, make long prayers. It does seem as though people generally feel that the longer you pray, the more spiritual you are. And we hear people now and again who say, well, I prayed 4 hours, and I often wonder how they managed it. But especially in public, the public prayers of people oftentimes are strung out as a kind of an oration, you know, because you have the impression that the individual is sort of either impressed with himself or trying to impress God. Now, the Lord gets tired of this. He says in Isaiah chapter 1, bring no more vain oblations. He says, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. God gets tired of religious programs. Well, so do some of us, right? And he says, when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes. And when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Yes, God gets tired of religious observances. Had you realized that? all of the routine, all of the ritual, all of the pomp and ceremony through which we go in the effort to appear religious, for a pretense, it says, to appear religious. Everything we go through like that, God says, I get tired of it. Why? Because he looks for reality. He looks for reality. He told the story, our Savior did, of the publican, that was the tax collector who was a pariah. Everybody looked down on him and snubbed him. And the Pharisee, both of whom arrived at the temple to pray. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. He said, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men, adulterers and unjust, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I pay tithes of all I possess. And he went on bragging to God about what he was. And then the Lord Jesus said the tax collector wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven. People in those days prayed with their eyes open, looking up to heaven. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, I'm a sinner. Jesus said, I tell you, this man, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. God looks for reality in prayer. Now, beloved, how real are we in our praying? I have to face that all the time. I've been praying ever since I was a little boy. I know the language. But I have to face the fact that it's possible for Bob Cook to set his mouth going in prayer without his heart following it always. How is it, beloved, with you on that score? God looks for sincerity. He looks for reality. Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, God said through the ancient prophet. Oh, today, let's you and I do an overhaul of our motivation in praying. You don't really convince God about anything when you pray. He looks to see how real you are, how sincere you are. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. The Lord Jesus knew the thoughts of men, the Bible says. He perceived their thoughts. He knew what they were thinking. God knows what you're thinking. Not just what you're saying. David Morgan said to me one day before we knelt to pray together, he said, Bob, God will not discover anything about you by the time you say amen, so you better tell the truth now. Oh, what an indictment of our frequent insincerities in prayer. Tell God the truth. Tell God the truth. Dr. Pettengill used to say, if you wake up feeling cranky, don't try to tell God everything's all right. Tell him that you've got a grouch and ask him to fix it. Pretty good idea, wouldn't you think? Tell God the truth, because that's what he wants, rather than long prayers. Dear Father, today may we serve thee in sincerity, in truth. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Till I meet you once again by way of radio, walk with the King today and be a blessing.
You've just heard Walk with the King, the ministry of Dr. Robert A. Cook. This program is listener-supported. For more information or to find out how you can help continue this ministry, write to us at Walk with the King, P.O. Box 43, Trumbull, Connecticut, 06611, or visit us on the web at walkwiththeking.org. Thank you for your support of this ministry. This has been broadcast number 6590. Thank you for listening to Walk with the King.